This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. You're listening to Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7.
Right, so the time is 10:39. Thank you for staying with us here on Power Talk, Power 98.7. So what happens when politics, ideology intersects with love and romance, and two people who really care about each other on a romantic, personal, intimate level also care about deeper, bigger social causes like fighting the apartheid system? What kind of a story does that become? You know, we see it when we're watching things like James Bond, you know, or we're watching what's the one with Tom Cruise, you know, when he's saving the world, but then he also has a kindred spirit with whom he can go into that defense of universal values. It's a similar sort of thing, except that this here is real life. Ronnie Kasrils, the ex-minister for intelligence services, has a book, The Unlikely Secret Agent is its title. The book has now been adapted into a play, but was written as a tribute to his late wife, Eleanor. It's also a tribute to his family and his closest friends. The focus is between the period, or the timeline is between the period 1960 to 1963. So it's just those 3 years when the young couple first met, courted, and then worked together to subvert the apartheid regime. Eleanor is described as a young, unassuming woman, arrested at the Griggs bookstore where she works in Durban, taken in for questioning. The police then hunt for her lover, who they'd branded a terrorist, a.k.a. Red Ronnie Kasrils. And then she finds herself detained under the 90-Day Detention Act, brutally interrogated. Paul Du Toit is the actor and playwright who wrote who's won the Alan Paton Award for Literature. And he's also been able to adapt The Unlikely Secret Agent into something we can consume as a modern day audience. Let's not get too much into it. Let's speak to Ronnie Kasrils himself, the author of The Unlikely Secret Agent and a former Minister of Intelligence in the Republic of South Africa. Good morning, Mr. Kasrils. Okay, I think there might be a slight problem with his line. But we also have Erica Breitenbach-Marea, the producer and actress who actually plays the role of Eleanor Kasrils. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, Lerato. It's lovely to be here.
It is a pleasure. And I also understand that Mr. Kasrils, whilst he's with us on the line, he is hard of hearing. So perhaps that's also a challenge. Maybe I'll have to project a little bit more. But let's start with Let's start with you, Erica. Just tell us a little bit about the story, because it's got everything. It's got espionage, it's got politics, it's got love, it's got tragedy, it's got detention and hardship. It's raw in many ways and soft because of the love as well.
Yes, it's an amazing story. When I read the book, I completely fell in love with the story and, you know, Eleanor's bravery. But also, as you say, it's such a beautiful love story set in such a turbulent time. So you've gave a perfect introduction, actually. So the story of Eleanor is where Ronnie was actually going into hiding because the security police at that stage was trying to draw him out and they couldn't find him. So they decided to arrest Eleanor under the 90-Day Detention Act, where they could keep people and not charge them for 90 days. And she was questioned and tortured for a week, and then she feigned a mental breakdown and was transferred to a mental hospital for observation, and there she actually planned and managed to escape. That's very briefly, but such an exciting story.
Okay, so she's resourceful, brave, smart, and quick-witted, it sounds like, as well.
Very much, and she managed to outsmart her captors capture it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I mean, when we go into the world of fantasy and Hollywood, Erica, Mission Impossible was the title I wanted, where you see the protagonist, the hero, often has a heroine of equal smarts, measure, guts, and courage. And so these two people are so aligned that they go out and conquer the world together. Now, that's usually fantasy. This is real, Erica.
Very much real. And it's almost a reverse role as well, where Ronnie was waiting for Eleanor. You know, he had gone up to Parktown and was waiting for her in a safe house, and she managed to do all this by herself. You know, outsmart the police, outsmart the hospital as well, and managed to escape. So she was very resourceful, and I think they are a brilliant couple. I wish I actually could have met Eleanor. I'm so grateful that I could know Ronnie and got to know him as well through doing the story. But she was a remarkable woman.
Okay, we've got former Minister Ronnie Casserolles back online, and of course he is the author of the book titled The Unlikely Secret Agent. And it's autobiographical also, you know. So he's very much a protagonist in the story because this is his life. Good morning, Ronnie Casserolles.
Good morning, Lorata. I hope you can hear me now.
Much better, sir. Much better. So,
okay.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, what underpins the book. Definitely a love for Eleanor. Who was she? And not just as your wife and partner, but who was she as your comrade in struggle?
Yeah, okay. Well, that's got to be contextualized outside of the two individuals. Unlike these fantasies, Hollywood, that's always purely about an individual, a superhero, be it a male or a female. What fired and inspired Eleanor and myself was the involvement in the people's struggle to overthrow apartheid and joining the ANC. It was banned, so we were in the underground. We were recruited into Umkhonto weSizwe, and Eleanor participated with me and with other comrades in sabotage actions. So the police didn't know that. That was one of the secrets she was having to keep at all costs. But we met round about the time I visited Durban. I later went to work there and got to know her. But coincidentally, it was just after the Sharpeville shootings. I was in Joburg working at the time, where I come from, incidentally. And that impelled me to do something as a white person to serve the black struggle. And in going down to Durban to look for a cousin of mine who belonged to the Communist Party, because I wanted to join the movement, I happened to be staying next door, Eleanor. And we met and we were attracted to each other. I came back to Durban, having been offered a job there within a couple of months of that, and then we soon fell in love. So it is in parallel, as you've introduced the book and as Erica has recounted it. And this happens very often, in fact. You know, true love, whatever it is, to really flower, requires common interests. And there's nothing more powerful than living under oppression and finding a common interest in fighting oppression. It really heightens the tension, the drama, the attraction for each other. And we worked with the ANC, Communist Party, the MK, and the underground. So we've got to stress that, as well as the individual connection. That certainly reinforced our courage, everybody's courage who were involved, and certainly Eleanor's. So it was a dual thing. Very strong affection for me and loyalty, both to me and the other comrades, because she had so much information about others that could have led to very dire consequences, not only for me, who obviously, in a sense, being her lover, was the first person in her mind, but for the other comrades who she had huge respect and affection for.
Okay.
And she's in that kind of situation. And I must say, the experience, one can romanticize these things, but I think it's an apt word because, as I've said, the relationship is really heightened through having to face a common challenge, whatever that might be in life. And it happens to many people. The challenge for us was in terms of serving our people. And that turned a very ordinary Ronnie Casserolles and a very ordinary Eleanor at the time, Anderson, who became Casserolles, we married in Dar es Salaam after we successfully left the country. It turned us into, and certainly turned her into, an extraordinary woman.
Okay. I want to ask just one or two other questions, Ronnie Casserolles. So, certainly from how you describe it, there is a softness to the love. There is definitely a romanticism to the kind of relationship the two of you had. But the context of the politics, it's raw because she gets arrested, as Erica described, under a 90-day detention act and then is brutally interrogated in police detention. So the love is soft, but the politics is hard and it's raw. And then the two of you forge a union and then build a comradeship politically, but a family socially. So I just want to know how you go about doing that, because in as much as the two of you have this blossoming, blooming, beautiful, you know, fairy tale love, people would say, the reality of your life outdoors, it's harsh, it's real, and death could come at any point in time. And so how do you navigate a relationship knowing that there's a target on your back and on her back?
Well, you know, Che Guevara has talked about revolution as a commitment of love. And it infuses personal into relationships as well. So, of course, Eleanor and I's love was a predominant feature right through our life together. Our sons have followed in our footsteps. I think everybody in this country knows Admiral and Casserolles. It gets passed on. It infects the family. We were infected by our larger family of the ANC, of the Liberation Struggle, Communist Party, MK, and all the comrades. It is something that, as much as there's danger that one's involved in all sorts of, one would say, courageous feats, and so on, which so many thousands and thousands were involved in. At the same time, the love factor, the human factor, is a normalized one. You know, it's almost as though it's something, a sense of nature. So it's not as though we're running around blowing up pylons and railway and government offices. We have parties with comrades. We go, as Eleanor loved, the ballet. We go to the cinema. The parties were interracial, and they were highly political as well as joyful, with freedom songs. We enjoyed ourselves side by side with the huge tensions and threats and dangers. And when one was captured, as Eleanor was, what helps to sustain the person is the strength that was achieved, the loyalty that was developed to others, but above all to a just struggle. And you can read and see so many pictures and plays and books and novels based on these things, which infuse the personal and the collective, the larger national and even international, because the international commitment and solidarity grows through this. So Che Guevara's point about a revolutionary process being based on love, he's not just speaking about the sexual aspect, which obviously between a couple becomes a wonderful and beautiful thing as well, and the respect for each other, but the love and the respect for people engaged as the Palestinians are now in a struggle against incredible brutality. And I can assure you, and you'll see it with Palestinian people in terms of their dignity, their love for each other, even surviving under a far crueler regime than we faced. But that was what was going on in South Africa throughout all the period of decades of struggle. And, you know, there's a book, for instance, Zaida Jafta, who was also, like Eleanor, detained for long periods, a 90-day detention. If they didn't get what they wanted out of you in the questioning, they could renew it, like with Ruth Hurst in her book. Yeah. She describes serving this 90 days. She's released and then immediately rearrested as she steps out of the police station. So it perpetuates itself. Okay. But the courage comes from this very deep conviction of the need to change a most criminal situation, which was the apartheid situation.
Okay, so I mean, President Mbeki describes the book as a book about an ordinary woman with the heart of a lioness, and this is a true homage. Erica, let's bring you back into the conversation. So it's a book adapted into a play. Tell us about the scripting and how you communicate this complex story of complex politics with this deeply, deeply inspiring love at the center.
Yeah, so Paul Letoy adapted the book for the stage. So he actually wrote the script. And obviously, because it's a theatre production, it is very theatrical. We have stayed very close to the facts. Ronnie, you know, was being consulted all the time while Paul was writing the script to make sure that we have all our facts straight. But the way that he has done it really takes the audience on this journey of with Eleanor, starts with how she meets Ronnie and how their relationship develops. And interspersed with that, we have the security police officers watching on the side always, because there was this feeling of the security police were always watching them, you know, what they were doing. And part of the play that we're also trying to convey on stage is that a part of Eleanor has always stayed in that interrogation room in a way, the way that they have manhandled her. And that comes through very strongly in the play. I'm incredibly proud of this production. The actors are phenomenal. It's myself with four actors who play all the characters in the story, not only the security branch officers, but Eleanor's parents, the woman in the asylum, students and other comrades in the play. And they do this so beautifully without any costume changes. With a drop of a hat, they are phenomenal.
Okay. And can I ask you this, Erica? Does the story cross-pollinate? I guess what I'm saying is, if somebody who doesn't really know much about Eleanor and Ronnie Kasrils per se as activists, or even the nuances of the struggle, will they be able to follow what's happening on stage? Or do you need to be a South African to truly appreciate the story?
No, I think this will resonate with everyone. So you don't really need to know the story. The theatre play does tell the story very beautifully. Mm. So you will, if you have never heard of this, you will be able to follow the story and learn so much. And so for us as well, we really want the youth audiences to come and watch this, who doesn't know the story, who doesn't know this part of our history, because it really narrates the history of our struggle.
Right. Very briefly, Navari is a listener of Power FM, and you'd like to say something?
Thank you very much, Lerato, and good morning, Comrade Ronnie.
Okay, go ahead, Navari. Yes, he can hear you. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, you know, this is really a lovely story of a revolution and two people who have devoted their lives in the life of struggle of people of Africa.
Thank you.
Unsuspecting, I agree, because he was really a white man running around with black folks and to try to liberate this country. Really, we need to really congratulate for the work you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for contributing to
Thank you. Thank you, Navari. Right. Mr. Casrolls, final question very briefly, and this has nothing to do with the play, but just when, you know, tomorrow South Africans will be commemorating Freedom Day, a freedom that you have personally fought for, given up your personal freedoms for with detention, exile. What do you make of where South Africa's at today, but in particular, where state security's at today? Because, you know, we keep on being told that so many things that have happened are lapses in security, lapses in intelligence, lapses in coordination between the police, the military, and national and international agencies. What do you make of where South Africa just finds itself today?
Okay, so I'll kind of be brief. And I need to first think that the 30th anniversary, Eleanor would be so proud as I'm proud, and what we did, the struggle for freedom and everybody involved, which brought us to 1994, 30 years ago, broke down the apartheid system and gave our people equality and dignity and opportunity. Mm. And that's the breakthrough that's occurred. We have a wonderful constitution. You've heard President Mbeki or former President Mbeki making the point that there's a lot that's been achieved. There's been a lot of problems in the way, I don't need to specify. There's a renewal of the liberation movement headed by the ANC. And we can do it together. We need the courage and dedication that is shown by the likes of Eleanor and thousands of others who sacrificed for this. And we must help our government by raising all the requirements that are needed to do away with corruption and to get greater delivery. So I'm very positive that we can do this, that we can proceed and succeed.
Thank you so much, Ronnie Casrolls. One for the book, for the love story, for the courage in struggle, for the leadership. And thank you, Erica, for bringing the story to the stage along with the playwright and all others who are participating in the project of bringing the unlikely secret agent to the stages of South Africa. Thank you all. Newstime.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.